WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. This is Mason Chambliss with your WSLR news headlines for Tuesday, July 29th. The same day Governor Ron DeSantis announced at a press conference in Bradenton that Florida's Department of Government Efficiency will audit Manatee County's finances, the state DOGE sent a detailed request for information. The letter obtained by the Bradenton Times included an 8-page list of requested records related to county procurement and contracting, personal compensation, property management, and utilities, among others. Some of the topics were specific to Manatee County, including the potential purchase of the Mixon Fruit Farms property, or the purchase of a new county administration building at Lakewood Ranch. The list also includes any information about programs related to the Green New Deal and DEI or anti-racism. The letter says that all records are due by the first week of August, or else the county may face financial punishments. At the press conference on Thursday, the governor criticized that the county's tax revenues outpaced its population growth by multiples and suggested Manatee County return some of that money to residents and businesses instead of building reserves. After the Florida Department of Transportation asked the city of Sarasota to remove street art installations, the city responded with a statement saying staffers identified 3 installations that do not comply with state rules, the Observer reported. City Commissioner Jen Ahern Coach told WSLR News 2 weeks ago that she believes the state's rules only apply to state roads and that the city's rainbow crosswalks at Coconut and 2nd Street will not be affected. But the statement by city staffers identifies 2 more installations, a crosswalk at 1400 Main Street and sidewalk art at Pineapple and Orange Avenue. And it says staffers are seeking clarification from FDOT as to who will pay for the removal of the pavement art. Questions still remain as to how FDOT's policy will affect the annual Sarasota Chalk Festival. In a recent ranking by personal finance company Wallet Hub, Florida ended up 42nd out of the 51 U.S. states when it comes to affordability of and access to health care. The Wallet Hub rankings are based on how affordable it is to get high-quality health care within each state, as well as expert evaluations across 44 different metrics. Florida ranked poorly in metrics about the share of the population that is insured, 48th for children and 45th for adults. Retired 12th Judicial Circuit Court judge and 4-H volunteer Barbara Briggs has been chosen for induction into the Florida 4-H Hall of Fame. 4-H is the youth program dedicated to helping youth find their passions, fulfill their potential, and learn life skills through hands-on activities. Briggs has been involved with 4-H in Sarasota County for over 35 years. This has been Mason Chambliss with your WSLR news headlines for Tuesday, July 29th.
The following program is a rebroadcast of a previously aired episode. We're pleased to bring it back to our listeners. This is the Healthy Living Hour, airing every other Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on WSLR. My name is Rebecca Acosta, acupuncture physician, and I'm your host. Our goal is to offer a wide variety of topics and guests to better inform and educate our community on current health and wellness issues. Today's program has been pre-recorded. As a disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed by hosts, guests, and callers on WSLR programs are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of WSLR staff or volunteers. Further, no one here is providing any type of medical diagnosis, treatment, nor advice. Everything said here on the Healthy Living Hour is solely for general information and to foster critical thinking. We encourage you to consult your doctor for personal medical advice. Thank you for joining us, everyone, today. I have tomorrow is Valentine's Day. And last year, I reached out to somebody who I've never met, but who had a profound impact on my life and my way of thinking about things. And he's here with us today. I have, from the other coast of Florida, the Love Life Guy, Steve Fugit. And Steve has walked across the U.S. over 50,000 miles. He is 77 or 78 years old. And I have found it to be his life's work to really share gratitude for this life that we have. And I think today this is our Valentine's message to my listeners. So, Steve, thank you so much for being here with us today. And please give us your background, if you would. Tell us a bit about yourself. You have just such an immense, like a kind of a gut-wrenching story, but you have seemingly turned it into something good. So welcome. Thank you for taking the time of your day. And please tell us a bit about you and your journey.
Okay. Well, first off, I believe the greatest pain that a human being can suffer is the loss of a loved one. And I don't think I'll get any argument when I say, and the greatest of that is the loss of a child. Now, that pain, it has grieving. There's energy with it. Now, I lost my son at 26 years old to suicide. He was running my business for me in Vero Beach, Florida, while I hiked the Appalachian Trail. And then 6 years later, I lost my beautiful little girl. And she was diagnosed with MS. But it was called an accidental drug overdose. The jury's still out on that. But anyway, doesn't matter. She's gone. She's not coming back. So anyway, what I did, Rebecca, was I took the energy of my pain and I converted it. And I realized that, you know, my children, my loved ones, my loved babies, they love me too. And so I owe to them to give them what they would want, and that is my happiness. They wanted joy and happiness for their daddy, just like I did with my two babies. And so, by God, I'm giving it to them, and that's what I do. And so when I lost my son, I went back 8 months later. I was halfway on the Appalachian Trail when we don't know exactly what happened and why he did it. But anyway, he did. And I was on the Appalachian Trail halfway. So I went back 8 months later, and I finished the Appalachian Trail in honor of my son, basically saying, Stevie, it's okay, man. We're going to do this. So when I was out there, something happened to me. I realized that I didn't want any other parent to go through the absolute horror I was in and the pain I was in. And I was, if you're going to scream and cry, the Appalachian Trail is a great place to do it, you know. And so anyway, I decided I had to do something. So I came back, told my little girl, I'm going to walk across the United States with the words love, life over my head. And that's what I did. I stuck the sign and said love, life over my head, and I walked all the way across the United States. And it did so much good. There were actually people who said they did not take their life because of seeing that sign. I had people get a hold of me years later and say they were on the way to take their life, you know, at some motel or whatever it was set up. One young lady in particular from Colorado, she was in Florida, but she was on her way to a motel room to take her own life. And wow, she kept driving by me three or four times. Finally, she turned around, and there we stood. And she said, I can't believe I'm standing in the middle of the highway hugging a strange man. You know, and it's like, and we kept her alive, you know, life, Father, God, whatever you want to call it. I don't care what anybody calls it, you know, using me. And I'm out there with this sign. So I told my little girl, I'm going to do it again. So I said, this time I'm going to walk around in the United States. She thought I was nuts. And so I walked around the U.S. I was I was about 3 or 4 weeks from finishing down at the Miccosukee Reservation, you know, where I had started down in South Florida. And my little girl was going to come and get me with her 3-year-old baby, my grandbaby. And there's now 21, I think. But anyway, yeah. And I was 3 or 4 weeks away. I was just standing in the middle of Daytona Beach, Florida, with my Love Life sign. The local newspaper there had released my story that morning. I was on the front page of the paper. And so people were all around me. And I got a phone call from my sister telling me my little girl was gone. Try that one on for size, you know? And it's like, and I'm like, you know what? The difference between when I found out about my son when I was on the Appalachian Trail and the difference between finding out about my daughter, I didn't love one of my children more than the other. I loved them both equally. Of course, we all do. And it's like, but I tell you, there was a difference. I had been walking with Love Life over my head. I had Love Life. And I had to be, I was the Love Life guy. So I just looked up at the heavens and I just, you know, I was screaming for 2.5-3 hours. But then I just looked up and I said, both of them? You got to have both of them? And that's it. And then I kept on going and I went over to the West Coast, over to near Clearwater at a little place called Holiday, Florida, where mm-hmm. my daughter was living. And, I went over there and put my little girl in the ground. And then I continued. My son-in-law took me back to Daytona, and I walked on to the Miccosukee Reservation. And that's what I do. I just keep going. Because I have to remember, and we all have to remember that, you know, it is absolutely the most important thing in our lives. Every one of us should be helping and giving to others. Because when you do, I read something once, a lot of people really take some back. It has become one of my favorite quotes, and I don't know who said it. It gets accredited to me a lot. I didn't say it. I said, that's great. I got all these quotes, and I'm going to be famous for one I didn't say. But anyway, and that is, if you want to be happy in this life, forget about yourself. And it's just that simple, you know? I've talked to people, they'll tell me, that young man or that young lady has very low self-esteem. I go, really? Well, when I talked to him, all I heard was, nobody loves me. I'm not good enough. Nobody cares about me. That's not low self-esteem. That's why that guy named Jesus 2,000 years ago said, love your neighbor even as much as you do yourself. He could have said, love your neighbor even as much as you do your own self-centeredness. And it's like, and so that's where I am. I really am happy all the time. And I said it to you when we first got this thing up there. I said, that's the convenience of being nuts. I'm always happy. And I tell you, I've limited my bad days to 3 minutes. And it's been a long time since I've had to use a whole 3 minutes, you know? And it's like, I just do it. I've talked to so many people, and that's what my book's about. It's all the people I've met. And it's like, because, my God, I mean, and one of the things, you've looked at my Facebook, right? But you said you hadn't read my book yet, right? Or
not all of it, correct. Okay.
But anyway, because of the stories I tell and the stories I put on Facebook, is I get all the time people go, I can't believe there's really still good people out there. And I'm like, what do you mean still good? Well, they didn't just pop up all of a sudden. They've been there the whole time. You're not out there walking with a big sign over your head that says Love Life. I'm a magnet. You know, they come over, love. I mean, sometimes they just want to know what I'm doing. And sometimes they really are suicidal. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, they're just happy people. And it's like, I just meet the greatest people in the world. You know, so.
Yeah, and I have followed you on social media for the better part of a year. Like I said, I had wanted you to be on my first Valentine's show last year, but we're already off walking. We just
I took off.
It. You took off right away. Like, I would love to, but I can't, maybe. And so I've been waiting for this moment, and thank you so much. And I neglected to mention this to our listeners, but you do have a book out, and we'll talk about that later on. But the title is Love, Life, Walk. And you walk around with a sign, a love life sign. I think you carry a backpack with a tent.
No, I don't carry it. I have done it with a backpack. I pull a tarp behind me, and it usually weighs about 170 pounds. And people go, "Why, you can do it a lot lighter than that." No, you can't. Not when I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I'm not on a trail somewhere that's got designated shelters where you stop and things like that. I'm out in the middle. You know, when you're out west and you're walking and you see a sign for the automobiles that says next gas, 90 miles, that's pretty frightening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so my next meal, so I keep everything I need on that cart. I keep it, 3 sleeping bags, you know, 3 times I've walked around the United States. And when you're walking around the United States, you're going to be out there in excess of 2 years. You're going to do the seasons, each season twice. Yeah, I've done 22 below in a tent, probably colder than that, but I know 22 below several times. I've been caught in hailstorms. I got caught in the worst ice storm in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in its history. I got caught in that. That was lovely. And it's like, I've done it all. I mean, hailstorms. I've seen on the road, I've seen the huge chunks of ice, like during a hailstorm. Like, if they'd have hit somebody on the head, and it fell out of the heavens. I mean, you see all kinds of things, man. Found a $100 bill. Found a $100 bill once. That was pretty cool.
That is. And what I think too is I love when you're out walking and you'll do a little social media post and you are so touched by the people you meet, the strangers or the friends you haven't met yet. How about
right,
that?
That's
you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And they will go, they'll see you walking with your sign and what you do touches them. And they'll go to a restaurant and they'll turn around, like they'll bring you a hot meal or they'll give you money or they'll say, "Hey brother, you know, I paid for a room at this motel so you don't have to be out in the elements in your tent tonight."
Right.
And it is, it's so inspiring because I think too, I think we all or many of us can agree that life is not easy out there. The political system, people are angry, they're scared, they're going through all things, you know, the economy.
The political thing, that's nonsense.
Yeah, but and that people are struggling.
It's the stupidest thing. It's man-made. It's like the two things I have absolutely nothing to do with are man-made religions and man-made politics.
Yeah.
All they do, you know, they've both been with us for nearly since our existence, and neither one has caused that, you know, constant love or a constant just getting along together. All they've ever caused is division. I don't have anything to do with it. So,
yeah.
I believe in life. Like I said, you can call it God. I believe in it. I believe in something higher than me. I love it because I'm not alone. I mean, I'm out there on the road, but I'll tell you the greatest thing that has happened to me, my solitude. I've walked for 24 years now, and I've probably 90% of it has been in complete solitude. And you learn a lot, you know. Well, that and the pain of losing both my children, you know. And I've converted that pain, you know, to energy. And I've turned it around, and I've aimed it. I aim it towards my fellow human being. And, you know, I said earlier, there have been people that did not take their own life because of my words or just the sign, you know.
Your words.
Oh, ask me, and I've had encounters where they were right in front of me and they were going to do it. And people say to me, "Steve, how did you know? How did you have their answer?" And I said, "I don't have anybody's answer. They do. They already have their own answer inside. Did you know there have been people that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and lived? And every single one of them said the same thing. They regretted it the moment their foot left the pavement. They regretted it. So they already have their answer inside of them. And it's like, and so I just sit there and I keep listening. And this is what I do. I let them tell me their story one time. That's it. Then I use my gift of gab, and I over-talk them. I out-talk them. I talk over them. I interrupt them, because you're not going to do it anymore, because what you're doing is killing yourself with your words. You keep the self-pity. Just keeps going. You know, and somebody told me once, I touched, you talk too much, Steve. I said, no, I don't. I talk a lot. And I said, and this gift of gab has stopped a lot of people, you know, from the taking their own lives, and people that get really depressed. You got to be happy, man, because there's no sense in not being happy. It's easier to stay happy than it is to stay pissed. It's like, I don't have to, you just, happiness is right there for you. The thing is, that's why complaining, blaming, judging, it's BS. There's absolutely no sense that you are totally and completely responsible for yourself. You know, when I put posts on Facebook, that's those kind of posts are the ones that will get the least amount of likes, are the ones where I tell people you're responsible for your own stuff. And it's like, hey, nobody wants to hear that. They want to blame everybody. And I go, you know what? It's not the politician's fault. It wasn't your parents' fault. It's not your teacher's fault. It's your fault. Get yourself a pull out of it, you know. I'm not saying that those things can't affect your life in some way. But what they're supposed to be teaching you to go on and get over it, not to be complaining and everything. They blame it on the rich, poor blame it on the rich. The jailbird, the person in jail blames it on the law. It's like, you know, and everybody always has to somebody else to blame, you know. Don't blame. Just keep growing. Anyway. So,
yeah, we can become the masters of our destiny if we choose that.
We are the masters now.
Absolutely.
Like, period. That's already done. But then what you're saying is we can use that. And, you know, if we learn that, then we keep on going, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And you and I were talking earlier prior to this, you know, and we have that common denominator of child loss. My son passed away. It'll be 3 years ago, this next week, this week, Friday, the 16th.
The horror of horrors.
Yeah.
And
my partner, just 18 months later, his son died by suicide, took his own life. And it was, you know, so it's like, wow, in one household, two, like you had two. And it's a bit of a, you know, and it can knock you on your tuchus. And
I lost all of my children. My children are gone. My babies are gone.
Yeah.
And it's like,
sorry.
You know, the suicide, it's like, God, was that Roger? God bless him.
Yes.
Anyway, that's, you know, what a gauntlet you run with that, you know, the guilt, the everything. It's just, it's unimaginable. But your loss of a child in any way. Is it like I said earlier when we were talking? It's as if someone carves your heart out of your body with an axe while you are yet breathing. And when I deal with people that have lost children, which I have quite a bit over the years, and I'll say, here's the first thing I want you to get in your head. It ain't going to go away. Ever. Go ahead and embrace it. And they go, when does this pain go away? Never. You deal with it a little better. The only thing time does for we that have lost children is give us more experience in dealing with something that's never, ever going to go away, period. So, and also I like to shout out to people, you do not have the right to take your own life. It does not belong just to you. It belongs to your loved ones as well. You don't have the right to do it.
That's a powerful statement. Thank you.
It is powerful, and it's real. And, you know, I've gone to battle with quite a few mental health professionals, and sometimes they say they are, and I don't really believe them. But, you know, they're saying, well, it's not a selfish act. I agree with you. It's not selfish because all the suicide incidents I've run into have been many because of what I do. And I said, they certainly, the last thing any one of them was selfish. They were very giving people. However, I do call it a self-centered. And the mental health professionals have argued, no, they weren't being self-centered. Yes, they were. Now, there may be some disease or some mental health problem that's causing them to be that way. But still, what it's doing is it's causing them to be self-centered. It's causing them to not look at what they're about to do to their loved ones. I'm not saying there can't be a mental health illness that can cause that, because they pretty much proven there is. But what that mental health problem did was cause them to be self-centered, because it caused them not to look at their loved ones and the heartbreak they were about to do to them.
It's a tough one, for sure. I mean, the suffering must be ginormous. And
I'm sure the pain is horrible.
They don't see a way out. That is their way out.
They don't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. But it's like if we were telling them, instead of telling them that's okay, which a lot of mental health professionals do, they tell them that's okay. No, it's not okay.
Right.
You're going to destroy the lives of others. You need to show them more of what they're about to do to their loved ones. Anyway, I'm not going to go there because it just blows my mind, the stuff I see. And so I'm out there. I got Love Life over my head. And if people say, how in the world can you love life? And like I said, it's convenient to be a nut. I'm just always happy. And it's like, I don't know any better. And so I've really gotten myself like that. I get a lot of times, I'll be laying there. I wake up in the morning, first thing, before my feet hit the floor. I that's when you get attacked by all the negatives, Oh, you got to do this and you got to get. And I go, screw you. And I jump up now and throw the cover off and hit the floor and boom. And I'm off and going, because those bad vibes are going to be there. The negatives are going to be there, and they're going to attack you again and again and again. But I'm like, I tell people, I tell young people, like when I spoke to all our U.S. Army troops in Alaska in 2010 over their Suicide Prevention Month about not taking their own lives. And I tell them, look, when you get up in the morning, if you look around your room, around your bedroom, you'll see him. He's sitting there somewhere, and his name is Life. And what you do is you reach and grab him by the collar, and you reach and grab him, and you force him to do everything you want to do that day, that you make Life do, every single thing you want to do. And I said, and then if you keep doing that every day, then eventually you'll realize it was – your reflection in the mirror, because you'll recognize the smile.
Oh, that's beautiful, Steve.
Anyway,
and to the suicide thing, I think I've heard this said. It's a permanent solution to a temporary situation. A temporary.
Permanent.
Constant. And life is change. Everything's
going to change.
Everything's
still there. Well, things have changed. Your loved ones are now in hell. They're in complete horror, And so, So anyway, it is what it is. But that my sign is white with big red block letters. Love Life. You can see it so far off. It's really cool,
Well, it's just wonderful how many people you touch with that. And how many people, I should say, you impact.
A newspaper person asked me one time, said, do you have any idea how many people you have touched in these 24 years? And I say, you know what? I've actually tried to count them. And you know what? I can't ever get past the number one. That's it. If you can help one person, that's it, man. They were doing a mini doc on me out in California somewhere. And the guy asked me, he said, Steve, I want to hear, you've been talking about everybody else. I want to hear some of the things that affect you, that are really hard on you, the things you have to go through. Could you make me a list? And I said, sure. So he said, I'll get back with you in a couple, 3 days. So I was digging it. I'm going, yeah, that's right. I'm miserable. This has been, I get caught in this, blah, blah. And my list was pretty long. And probably a couple hours before he called me to get it, it came out of the blue, man. All of a sudden, I started sobbing. I'm out in the middle of the road, out by myself, out in the middle of nowhere. And I start sobbing. And you know what came into my mind? Not one of the things on that list I was making, oh, woe is me, poor Steve. Not one of those things on there caused me to even remotely think about ending my own life. And it made me feel ashamed. And so when he called me, said, hey, you got that list? And I said, there ain't no list. I tore it up. So, end of that. Yeah.
Wow, what a
it's
story.
It's not supposed to be about us. It's the thing is, the more you care about someone else, the more you pay attention to what they're going through, their pain, the more your pain gets soothed, the more your problems get answered. It just happens. It's just the way it is. It's the law of the universe. To help other people, when you're selfish and you just keep hanging on, or self-pity, which, you know, self-pity is the beginning of depression, man. I mean, it's like, get it away from me. Get the hell away from me. And it's like, cuss it out. Get up in the morning, cuss it out. I don't accept negatives. I just don't accept them. They're stupid. Listen, here's the thing about negatives. In the history of our existence, a negative has never done anything good. It's never accomplished good. Negatives don't accomplish good. They accomplish bad. Common sense says, why are you fooling with it?
Yeah, it's why are we fooling with it?
Yeah,
exactly. Wow, thank you, Steve. Oh, I'm going to interrupt you 1 second. Please forgive. So you are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota. And you are listening to the Healthy Living Hour here with Steve Fugate. And he is the love life guy. He treks across the country. 8 times now, Steve?
8 times. I'm working on 9. I'm trying.
Yep, working on 9. His journey last year got cut short because of the weather, I believe.
Yeah, I stopped about, I think it was in November, October or November I stopped.
Right.
Well, it wasn't the weather. I developed it was 26 degrees. I made it to Medicine Bow, Wyoming. And
from Florida, from the east
yeah,
coast
from
Florida.
Yeah, from Florida. But But, you know, I've done it 8 times. So, but anyway, what happened was, I guess my age, I'm 77, and I guess my age said, your metabolism is going to change everything, pal. You're going to get altitude sickness. And I've climbed some of the highest peaks in the U.S. and never had, you know, altitude sickness. And I got it, and I had it for like 2 weeks, and it wouldn't go away. It didn't matter what I did. It wouldn't go away. And it was getting so bad. And I'd gone like 2 weeks without sleep. So I went, got a friend of mine that lived in Fort Collins, Colorado, come and get me and take me back there. And I rented a car and drove home to Vero Beach, Florida. Sebastian. I live in Sebastian. Same. They're same county. So anyway, that's what I've done.
Yeah, thank you again for joining us today. And so you walk across the country. You carry this big sign that says Love Life. People stop you along the way. You encounter people. They bring you food. They talk to you. They stop and hear your story, and you meet these people. And what has this done for others? Like, you have so many. You have a book called Love Life Walk, and I believe you share many of your stories.
I do.
Your encounters.
Like, well, you asked me, okay, my mantra, if you will, is mend the broken heart while it is yet beating. So that's what I'm after. That's what I'm trying to do. I know that I can't do it. I don't have the power to do it. But the people that I've seen, like I said, that Love Life sign is a magnet. And they get relaxed. And I'm always giggling and laughing all the time, like some kind of banshee or something, you know. And like, and they get relaxed with me. I've had like a lot of newspaper people that went out in the middle of nowhere to find me. They'd said, so many of them have said. And I said, hi. And the guy acts like he's known me for 35 years, you know. And that's the way you're supposed to do it, you know. And so that's how I affect them, I guess. I think there's a power greater than me using me, because I can't do it by myself. I've got that young man or young woman in front of me, and they're suicidal. I'm horrified. I'm horrified. I do not want to lose them. And it's like, it's the most horrifying thing. But I've learned that power outside me, if I just stay there with them and hang in there, it's going to be okay. As I said earlier, they're going to find their own answer. You know, and it has worked time and time again, you know. So anyway, but, you know, I started out as an advocate for, you know, suicide prevention. And that's not who I am anymore. That's in there, of course. I'm not going to run from that, you know. But it's just about loving life. It's like, you know, there's lots of people that are just miserable, but they're not going to take their own life. They're just miserable. There's no reason to live like that, you know. Maybe you have convinced yourself, hopefully, that you're not going to let it cause you to take your own life. But why live miserable like that? Because it's a negative. As I said earlier, negatives don't do anything good. They're stupid.
Push them out of your head.
It's just stupid.
Quickly.
But it's not, well, as quickly as possible. It takes a lot of, you got to be really tough to get those negatives out. You got to fight back. You got to fight hard. It takes practice. You got to do it every single day. And so if you keep doing it every single day, it eventually, it's like anything you do when you practice it over and over and over. It becomes easier. Now you become skilled at it. I'm skilled at getting rid of negatives, you know?
You've built that muscle.
I have. I built that muscle. It's the positive muscle. Get the hell out of here. It's like, you know.
Oh, that's
so funny. Anyway, so I don't know what I'm going to do now. If I'm going to go just walk around Florida. You know, I walked around Florida twice promoting our Florida panther, the most endangered animal in the United States. And something I got to say about the Florida panther, everybody in Florida needs to know this. There has never been a recorded act of aggression from a Florida panther. Not like its cousins. You know, it's one of the six specific subspecies of the puma. All the others, the other five, have been linked to, you know, harming human beings. And our Florida panther has never been. It's a different, they look a lot alike, but our cat is a little bit smaller, its face is a little bit broader, and its coloration is a little bit darker because the camouflage it needs is different down here, you know, in the, you know, was palmetto scrub. And so it's different. It's darker. And out there, they're on sand and stuff a lot, or, you know, lighter colored stuff. So anyway, they've never harmed anybody. I think that's really cool.
Wow.
And it was really cool because, like, I got to meet Sassy, who was the resident Florida panther at the Palm Beach Zoo. And they're going in there to whoever that news people was there. I forget what channel it is in Palm Beach, but they came and filmed it, and it was really cool, man. That cat, it was like she knew, you know, that I was there to help her, man. It was just the coolest thing. And everybody was saying it, you know, the same thing. And I said, you know, that cat right there, I was telling the newspaper guy, I said, that cat right there, your family pet, your dog, your cat, you know, they are obeying God. They're in the complete obedience of life. They're being and doing exactly what they are supposed to be doing, no matter what they're doing. I said, us, on the other hand, with a human species of animal, we can change things. They can't. So to me, we are obligated to help them get past those changes we make, like those super highways going down to blah, blah, whatever. It's killing them like crazy. You know, of course, in Florida, we're doing that corridor now. You know, we're a corridor that they can travel on, you know, to go take some under highways and stuff. There's been millions and millions of dollars allotted for it. And they're in the process of that now. And they're proven out in California and other places where they have similar ones. But we have so much wildlife here, you know. It's very important for Florida to do it. And so those things, those bridges, tunnels, and things they've done have proven to be working. They've got cameras, recordings of them at night, you know, crossing over them and going in the tunnels. It's really cool. You know, they learn, you know. So.
Wow. Well, thank you. And, when you were walking, so you walked Florida twice. And
I've walked Florida. a bunch of times, but
more than
specifically, I've walked around. Yeah, I've walked Florida. Anyway, that's cool. So,
wow. And so, walking with your love life sign, if I may ask, what do you get out of this? What does it do for you?
You're looking at it. I'm happy.
You're happy.
It's like what I got out of it was okay. When I first stepped up to cross the Golden Gate Bridge. A guy, it's in my book, a guy pulls up, cusses me out, says, you effing idiot. And I flipped him off. And I said, there I said, I got love life over my head. I'm getting ready to go over and I'm going to teach the whole world about love and life. And I said, there I am, my middle finger held high, love life over my head. And I said, I had a long way to go. So now when people flip me off, I wave. It's a badge of honor to me now. And it doesn't happen near as much as it used to. You know why? Because my attitude changed. There's a universal laws, man. When you change who you are on the inside, it changes your outside.
Isn't that the truth?
It is the truth. I've proved it. Mm-hmm. I was a jerk. I can still be a jerk. But I'm like, you know, but I'm a happy jerk. It's like, but, you know, I just keep doing it. I'm an extremist, I guess. I just keep doing it. But I really enjoyed walking for the cat, you know.
Did you raise money for the Florida Panther? Or
I was making people aware. It did raise some money. I did.
Right.
It did. They told me that it absolutely did raise some money. I didn't collect any money on it.
Right. But bring in awareness too.
To do with that. But, but I mean, people helped me financially out there. If they didn't, I couldn't make it. I mean, you know, but you know, the first time when I first started walking, I think it was 2 years, I wouldn't accept donations.
I remember you writing about
that. And the two reasons I accept them, now I don't know them, I say number one, but number one could be two and two could be one. But anyway, I said, I realized that people, I was denying people the opportunity to help and to share their love, you know. And number two, maybe number one, I was going to starve to death. I didn't have any money. Really funny. I was outside a convenience store somewhere in Missouri years ago, and I came out and I had two big greasy hot dogs. God, I love them. It was like them 7-Eleven Big Mamas or whatever they're called. And I had a coffee with I put every kind of flavored creamer in them. I get my money's worth. And so I got a large coffee and I got my two greasy hot dogs, and I'm sitting on one of them milk carts, you know, cartons, and I'm sitting there. And I'm like, damn, you know, I better count my money. So I laid my hot dogs down, and I had my money. I had a dollar or something left. And so just as I was clutching my hand to put it back in my pocket, there's this young man in his 20s. He's going, he can't even talk. He's pointing at me going, you. And I'm like, why? And he's like, you're famous, man. You're famous. You're all over the internet. I saw you on CNN or whoever it was he saw me on. I think the buzz, I don't know. And he goes, you're famous. And so I'm sitting there, and I still got this money in my hand, a dollar or something that I have, all I have to my name. And I'm like, and so I looked at him, and I said, so this is fame, huh? This is it? Yeah, man, you're really famous. And I go, well, you know what? How do you get that one like Michael Jackson and Elvis did? That's the one where you make money and stuff. I want that one. And he started laughing, and then we both started laughing, and I said, you know what? Made me feel kind of famous. You know what I mean? And I said, so, you know, it is what it is. So, anyway, I've learned a lot, and ask what it's done to me. It's completely and totally changed me. Of course, I always had a love for life, you know, but not like this. I don't have anything. I live in my van. I live in a 1999 Ford Econoline van. It's a work van. It ain't got kitchens and all that stuff in it. It's just a van, you know. And, you know, my – anyway, the way I live is nobody's fault but my own. I don't blame anybody. I'm happy. You gotta be happy. So anyway.
Wow, thank you. And yes, and I will encourage you to give others the opportunity to assist you, and don't starve when you're out there on the road.
Right, I know.
That is the truth.
Anything I tell you, trust me, it's the truth, no matter how ludicrous or ridiculous it sounds. And I've been accused of embellishing, you know, and I'm like, no, I don't. You don't have to. Let me tell you something. You walk across America, you don't got to make up nothing. They stuff I ain't never going to tell because people won't believe it.
Wow.
It's the truth.
Well, Mark, can I ask you, Steve, that I'm asking you questions totally off the cuff. What are your encounters with children? Like when you meet children on your walks, like do they say anything or do anything?
Yeah, I wish I could bring to mind some of the things they've said. You know, like I had a little girl out from a restaurant. I think she was with her brother or cousin, and they were like 6 or 7 years old. And she's going, "You're famous!" And her parents and grandparents are coming out of the restaurant at the same time. And she runs up to him and said, "This man walks the whole world."
Aww.
The whole world. And I said, "No, honey, the United States," but that didn't stop her. She kept saying the whole world. And it's like, I had the most precious things. One little girl, while I was pitching my tent on her parents' property up in Maine, she was maybe 5, 6, you know, the stuff that comes out of them, you know, you're like, I'm in awe, you know? And so, and she was absolutely precious, you know? And she comes up to me and she says, "You know, I really like you."
Oh.
I said, "Well, thank you." And she was sharp as a tack, man. She was saying, helping me pitch my tent. She knew exactly where to put those tent stakes and everything. She was just phenomenal child, you know. And she said, "You know, I really like you a lot." She said, "When I get ready to get married," and I'm like, and you think you know where that's going, but it threw me for a loop. She goes, "When I get ready, I want to come and get you and have you help me pick out somebody right."
Oh, my goodness.
I thought she was going to say she wanted to marry me, you know. Babies don't do that, you know. And I'm like, whoa, that one caught me totally off guard.
Yeah, what wisdom.
"Help me pick out somebody because I really like you." And I'm like, and I told her parents what she said, and they were going, "Where in the world did she come up with that?" I'm like, they couldn't believe it. It was so precious. But I have them, you know, and people send me pictures of their kids. Oh, with Love Life shirts on and stuff. But they draw me things all the time. The kids are always, as soon as they know, their parents are, a lot of times are trying to find me out on the road, you know. And they know, and so they've told their children who it is. And they draw things. They draw a stick man, you know, with Love Life orders. And some of them are pretty good. It's pretty cool, you know.
And you get to keep these. They give them to you.
Yeah, I've got them. Yeah.
How sweet.
Oh, it is. Over the years, I've collected so much stuff. And my rapport with our native peoples, that's been great, too, all the different tribes and stuff. And it's like, that's been very interesting.
Oh, do you have any few stories to share on that by chance?
Well, I've got stories. They're long. I've got stories like, I can't really. I've done sweat lodges with the Lakota up in South Dakota, you know, in the Nebraska. I can't think of the name of that town there, that reservation. Oh, well, I can tell you one story. I was going into Browning, Montana, and some ranch hands were in a restaurant I was in that morning, and they said, "Hey, man, are you going to actually walk through Browning?" And that's the Blackfeet. And I said, "Yeah." And they said, they're very dangerous people, man. They'll kill you. And I go, "Really?" And I don't do fear. I don't do fear at all. So, because that's a negative. So, and I don't do negatives. So, anyway, I paid no attention to him, but a couple of them said that. And the one guy, the one rancher, said, they're not like us. So when I got to the edge of town at Browning, I was 2 miles out, and I'd already been invited in the homes of three different people, you know? And and a cop stopped. I flagged a tribal policeman down, and I found a wallet. I had the guy's driver's license, and his last name was Kicking Woman. And so I said, and he says, so the cop, the tribal police says, oh, yeah, there's a lot of those Kicking Women around here. I said, I don't care if they kick or not. They sure are pretty. And he said, yeah, they are hot, aren't they? He said, our ladies are hot. But anyway, so then I went out and walked on down. And a couple, 3 weeks later, I was in Ojibwe territory. And I'll pronounce it any way I want because they pronounce it so many different ways. It's crazy. I've been right there with them. And I was the only white face out of 5,000 people at what's the name of it? It was the White Earth Anishinaabe ceremonies in Minnesota. And that was pretty interesting. But I was talking to this Ojibwe man, and he was a tribal they don't call him chief anymore. They call him chairman. The tribal chairman at one time, and I think it was the White Earth Reservation, and I told him about the ranchers saying, you know, they're not like us, and then I told him how I got treated in Browning, and he said, and when I said, he said, they're not like us, he goes, you know, really, that's quite the compliment. I loved it. I just loved it. And so I've just had so many awesome experiences with them. I did the sweat lodge. I'll tell you, those sweat lodges are fierce. The Lakota, I couldn't take it. I had to exit. I had to leave. But I didn't know you could go back in. And they failed to tell me that, or I would have went back in. So, but it was, and then what really made it bad, then I found out the sweat was in my honor. I couldn't take it. But it's like that. They're incredible people, and I really enjoyed them, you know.
What an experience.
It has been an experience. It has just been absolutely wonderful, marvelous. I just, you know, even the Jehovah's Witnesses don't bother me anymore. They come up to me and they go, you know, we're told to go door to door. I go, I don't have a door. What are you doing here? And one woman, a Jehovah's Witness, said, you know, we're told to go door to door. And I said, I know that scripture well. It also says while you're there to cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead. Are you doing that too? She goes, well, of course not. But it's like the religious nuts, you know, and all kinds of nuts, just not religions. Everybody, political, you know, they come up. I don't do politics. I don't do religions. Go away. Bless your heart. I love you to pieces. But I don't have these kind of discussions.
So, we've all got our quirks.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's not a quirk I'm ever going to have.
No. No.
I've lived through it. I've found the most important thing we can get out of life is wisdom. Because included in wisdom is love. The universal love, the real love, the one that created that love I was talking about earlier, the mother, when they place that newborn into her arms, you know. That's the greatest example, exhibition of love that we human beings know. In my mind, it is. And, of course, I said earlier, the love that created that love is the greatest love. And that's what I experience out there. And people tell me all the time, Steve, you have such wisdom. I'm like, it's on loan. It's on loan. Wisdom is outside us. It's something you borrow. You know, some intellectuals say that wisdom is collective intelligence. It's not. It's something outside of you. I know. I get carried away on it. But anyway, but I have a good time. I have a good time.
And that's what matters most. And you're impacting, I would say, everybody around you in a most positive way that few people have the bravery, you know, to do.
I hope so. It's like, you know, people say, aren't you afraid to be out there on the road? You're all by yourself. Yeah, tell me about it. It's like, I know. It's like, but, and I go, afraid? And they go, yeah, I would be scared to death. I said, I lost both my babies. Just what do you think you're going to do to me? I can't be hurt anymore. You can't hurt me. I've suffered the epitome of pain. And I turned it around. And I climbed up out of them ashes, you know, and became the phoenix. And because I had no other choice, it was do that or die. You have to do it. You have to crawl up, climb up, and go at it. You know, I talked to a man once that he was dying, and we were out on the road, and I forget what it was he had, his lungs and everything. He was just, and he said, you know, and people say, and my wife said to me, why you? Why you? And he said to her, why not me? He said, do I want someone else to have it? Do I want to pass it to someone else? No. I've got it, and I'm dealing with it. And his answer encouraged me to, when I found that I lost my little girl, to look up at the heavens and say, both of them, you got to have both of them. Because I had loved life over my head when I lost the second one. Now I knew what I had to do. And it hurt, as I said earlier, it hurt just the same as when I lost my little boy. But anyway, I learned something. I learned about loving life, you know.
And that's why we have you here today. And thank you for sharing that.
Well, you're quite welcome.
And how to really turn even what many of us would perceive as one of the worst situations a human being can go through.
It is the worst
into situation. Something good for others. And in turn, the byproduct, good for yourself. Like what you said, you've been.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I say? I call what I do trail therapy. It's trail therapy. And I said, like every other trail, it goes both ways.
Wow.
You know, there's a terminus at each end. You know, it goes both ways. And it absolutely has changed me. Like I tell you, I quit flipping people off when they That's growth right there, you know?
That's huge, yes.
Turn your middle finger into a full, all five
fingers. Into an all wave, a Princess Diana wave.
Yeah.
Is
that what it is? Okay, it's just a wave.
From what I see, maybe, not really.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, well, see, thank you so much. We're at the end of our time.
Okay. It's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed it very much.
And so thank you for your time, and you've just given us so many golden nuggets on what to really contemplate this Valentine's Day. So many people don't have a Valentine, or they're angry about something, or they've had a big loss and that's impacted them in that direction. And so thank you for sharing your story and telling
us all of this. The whole world is my Valentine. I don't have one either.
Aww,
you know, my wife is. My wife is gone too. We were divorced, but it killed me when I lost her. But anyway, so I really don't have a family anymore, you know, anything close. You know?
Well, I'd like to think we're all your family.
Well, you are. That's what I was saying. The whole world is my Valentine.
Yeah, that's great. And on that note, Steve Fugate, Fugate, for those who want to look you up, how do people find you?
If you just go to Facebook, and I'll be the only Steve Fugate that's the caricature Love Life walking in.
Love Life tonight, exactly.
But it's Love Life, it's, you know, and then Steve Love Life, one word. Steve Love Life, and that's how you get my Facebook. And I have a book, Love Life Walk. You can get
Love
it
Life
on
Walk.
All you have to do is go to Amazon, type in Love Life Walk. My book will come up. It's the only one of that title, and Steve Fugate is author, and there you got it. That's how you buy the book. Or you can buy it, go to my Facebook, and I put a thing on there almost every day, where you can buy it from me, and I'll send you, autograph it for you.
Yeah, nice. Well, Steve, thank you so much. A happy Valentine's Day to you.
Well, happy Valentine's
and
Day.
You are you've been a blessing to me these past couple of years through a hard point in my life. And you've
thank
really
you so
encouraged
much.
Me. And thank you for sharing this.
People tell me that. Thank you.